Question: how much can a intellectually oriented devotee study intellectual things for serving Krishna and still maintain a devotional mood? If we study too many intellectual things, can that distract us from bhakti? Answer: in this world, there is nothing that is a pure blessing. So, Kunti Maharani also says, Janma Ishvara Shruta Shribhir Edhaman Madha Puman Naivarhatya Abhidhatum Vaito Amakinchana Gochiram. He says that these four things can intoxicate us and they make us feel that I don't need Krishna. And one of those things is Shruta, learning, or which comes from intelligence. So, that definitely it's a valid fear that over-intellectualism may take us away from Krishna. And it is good that we are on guard. At the same time, we cannot serve Krishna with gifts that we don't have. We can only serve Him with the gifts that we have. So, the gifts that I have can be used to go towards Him, they can be used to go, they can be also misused and I may go away from Him. But if I don't use that gift, what else am I going to do? So I can only, if I have musical talent, I can use music. But by music I can get intoxicated, I can think that, oh, I'm such a good singer and I can impress people and attract people to myself. It's possible. But then if a person who is very good at music, that person, if they don't serve through music, how are they going to serve? Unless they have somebody, some person, people are, as they say, they have an embarrassment of riches. They have many, many talents and they have the luxury of choosing among various talents about how to serve Krishna. So if we have that, then we may choose a low profile service where we are using our talents, we are working according to our interests, but maybe we're not, it's not so high profile or it's not so much likely to cause deviation. But that way, anything can be a source of deviation. So that's why, just because there is a danger in some in using some faculty in Krishna's service, that does not mean that we should not use that faculty. So, in general, when we are intellectually oriented, the plain narration of pastimes just doesn't appeal much to us. So, is that a devotional disqualification? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Because I used to think that if I really love Krishna, then I should simply be able to hear Krishna's pastime. That's what I had heard earlier. And then I used to feel that, yeah, I just can't relish pastimes alone. There has to be some analysis. There has to be some explanation. Then I look at how Jiva Goswami has analyzed. How he has analyzed 10th canto, or Vishwanathakura Thakur has analyzed the Bhagavatam. They are bhaktas, but they are analyzing. Especially Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. There is so much analysis. Even the Sanatana Goswami's commentary also, the Shyam Tippani. There is so much analysis of the 10th canto. So here there are Vaishnavas who are great devotees. At the same time, they are using their scholarly capacity in Krishna's service. So, that's what we too need to do. So, we get to follow in their footsteps. We cannot wish away our intellectual side. So, yes, there is sometimes we may just be required to hear just pure narration of pastimes or plain narration of pastimes. See, the word plain is not right because Krishna pastimes are always rich. But still, there may not be much analysis in it. But in general, for our own study, for our own absorption, we need analysis. And we can, when we are doing some intellectual work, try to find an intersection between the intellectual and the devotional. And that means, I found that happens best in verses and bhajans. Because if I just decide to chant 64 rounds, I cannot absorb myself so much. But if I decide that that I will recite Vaishnava songs, I will recite verses, I'll memorize verses, that I can do throughout the day. But because there is the now verses, especially 10th canto verses or some verses of prayers or verses of songs, there's quite a good amount of devotion in it. But there is also some analysis there. There's also some intelligence involved over there. And that combination of intellectual and devotional is very absorbing. So I feel we need to find something like that and do that on a regular basis, where there is something which is directly devotional, at the same time there is some intellectual aspect to it. So I recently wrote an article on my website about a commentary sort of on Prabhupada's Markine Bhagavad Dharma song, Make Me Dance. So that is one of my favorite songs. And I took that and I tried to analyze that, and I felt deeply nourished by that. So now after that, even if I have to sing that song or I have to participate in singing of that song anytime, I will read that. And then that will help me to deepen my absorption. So in general, we cannot wish away the intellectual, but at the same time, we cannot neglect the devotional. So we have to find out the intersection between the intellectual and the devotional and nourish ourselves that way. As far as reading some other books for getting a better analytical framework for understanding people, for doing things in life, for organizing ourselves, that is okay. Again, in general, we, especially if we are intellectual, we are very intellectually influenceable. That means if somebody is a brilliant intellectual, we'll be impressed by them. So what we have to be careful if we read books by other authors is that we shouldn't let them influence our goal. See, we learn our goal from Krishna, from Prabhupada, from the Acharyas. And the means to that goal, we may learn from other people. Just like if, say, I'm leading a bus party and there's a driver, but I also need to learn to drive. Then I may learn driving from someone. That's a skill which is a means to an end, which is to serve Krishna. So the more physical the skill, the more external or gross the skill, the less there is likelihood of confusion between ends and means. No, I may learn from an expert driver how to drive a car or a truck, but that is not going to influence my understanding of the goal of life. Similarly, I may learn how to do online outreach. For that, I may do some website development course or something like that. That also is quite a gross skill. But when it comes to, say, understanding people or analyzing relationships or having a more positive attitude in life, you know, these are subtle things. They are much more connected with the subtle body than with the gross body. And when we learn these things from others, we may be required to do that, because if we see that way, in the Vedic scriptures there was paravidya and aparavidya, and much of the aparavidya today is lost. Even Jiva Goswami says in the Sandarbhas that much of the Vedas are lost. So we don't have that aparavidya, the knowledge of living in this world. And if we have to learn it from somewhere else and if we find that helpful, that is okay. What we need to be careful is that we don't confuse the ends and the means. So for that, we need to have regular regular study of scripture in a way that is intellectually appealing and convincing for us. Because when we read other books, they are also going to be intellectually appealing and stimulating. And then we need intellectually appealing and intellectually stimulating, convincing presentations of bhakti also. So when we have this also and this also, then here there is Krishna also. And then that will give us the higher taste. But if we do this very less, and if we do this, then we may get distracted. So in the regulation, we can read other books. And we should also monitor ourselves. You know, what is my understanding? Is it changing of my life? What is the purpose? What is the priority? As long as our goal is clear, we can use some means for moving towards that goal. That is okay. And often that is an intellectual need. What should happen over generations is that, or over decades or over generations is that, all of the devotees' needs should be fulfilled within the devotee community. Let me say, if I want to study science, then if there are devotee scientists who have already written books on science and spirituality, science and bhakti, then I won't have to go out and read other authors to read about, to understand science and bhakti. Or if I want to learn about, say, relationships or self-development or self-organization or whatever, whatever field it may be, if we already have the books written within our devotee tradition, bhakti tradition, that would be the best. So in general, if you want to look at any particular subject, first we can look at whether that kind of material is available from devotees. And if that is available, that's what we should first avail of. And overall, if we are in association of devotees, we are practicing the process of bhakti, there's not much fear that the intelligence alone will take us away. It is more that somehow, because of some conditioning coming up or some temptation we're being exposed to, our intentions change and then the intelligence takes us away. So the intelligence is not culpable. The intelligence is not culpable. It is the intention that is responsible. And that intention takes time to change. Or rather, that intention changing is a different process. That may change because of the intelligence, that may change because of something else. So we have to be careful about that. Does that answer your questions?